There are also three B's which describe most aptly the actions of our buffoon of an office manager. Bait, beg, blight, blunder, bore, boss, bother, bungle, burden, buzz. In this case, I'm afraid the list gets somewhat out of hand. I have come to the conclusion that our office manager serves no purpose other than one of obfuscation and hindrance. Were it not for him, the other clerical worker, La Dama del Comercio, and I would be quite peaceful and content, attending to our duties in an atmosphere of mutual consideration. I'm certain that his dictatorial methods are, in part, responsible for Miss T's desire to retire. I can at last describe to you our factory. This afternoon, being fulfilled after having completed the cross, yes, it is completed and gives our office a needed spiritual dimension, I set out to visit the clank and whir and hiss of the factory. The scene which met my eyes was at once compelling and repelling. The original sweatshop has been preserved for posterity at Levy Pants. If only the Smithsonian Institution, that grab bag of our nation's refuse, could somehow vacuum seal the Levy Pants factory and transport it to the capital of the United States of America, each worker frozen in an attitude of labor, the visitors to that questionable museum would defecate into their garish tourist outfits. It is a scene which combines the worst of Uncle Tom's Cabin and Fritz Lang's Metropolis. It is mechanized Negro slavery. It represents the progress which the Negro has made from picking cotton to tailoring it. Were they in the picking stage of their evolution, they would at least be in the healthful outdoors singing and eating watermelons, as they are, I believe, supposed to do when in groups al fresco. My intense and deeply felt convictions concerning social injustice were aroused. My valve threw in a hearty response. In connection with the watermelons, I must say, lest some professional civil rights organization be offended, that I have never been an observer of American folk customs. I may be wrong. I would imagine that today people grasp for the cotton with one hand, while the other hand presses a transistor radio to the sides of their heads so that it can spew bulletins about used cars and soft-style hair relaxer and royal crown hair dressing and Gallo wine about their eardrums, a filtered menthol cigarette dangling from their lips and threatening to set the entire cotton field ablaze. Although residing along the Mississippi River, this river is famed in atrocious song and verse, the most prevalent motif is one which attempts to make of the river an ersatz father figure. Actually, the Mississippi River is a treacherous and sinister body of water whose eddies and currents yearly claim many lives. I have never known anyone who would even venture to stick his toe in its polluted brown waters, which seethe with sewage, industrial waste, and deadly insecticides. Even the fish are dying.